Hi there, we really hope you enjoy this teaching from the Message Trust. To find out more about all the exciting things we're doing, check out our website, message.org.uk.
Oh, thank you. Amen. Well, it's always an honour to come. And I think what Andy said, it's an honour because of longevity. There are people that maybe you touch here and there, but this has mostly been 25. I remember the very beginning. I mean, you're coming up 25 years sitting. I remember the first prayer day that Gordon and I were involved was 9 people, including Gordon and I, Andy and Michelle, in the little house on the A56 coming up and beginning to dream. And I want to share today, and I've called it Keep Your Cutting Edge. Say it with me. Keep your cutting edge. Or maybe another way is keep your pioneering spirit. Just because you're young doesn't mean you're a pioneer. Just because you're old doesn't mean you're past it. Caleb was seriously on the cutting edge. What keeps that sharpness? As I just prayed for you, I just felt God wanted to say that you as the message, we in Britain, we as Christians in our world right now are living with incredible opportunity. How many of you agree with that? I believe that Brexit, President Trump, North Korea, some of the terrorist stuff, all the uncertainty actually opens incredible doors of possibility. Incredible doors of opportunity. Many of the prophets of 2017 announced, if you read any of the blogs, etc., they said 2017 will be the year of breakthrough. Maybe you're sitting here saying, seriously, where's mine? I could have done with a breakthrough. But I want to say to you, a breakthrough on its own benefits nothing. A breakthrough on its own benefits nothing, no one. It's only if you take the opportunity of the breakthrough, you get something. Let me put it this way. I have a wonderful chocolate Labrador. I love going walking. Now, there are certain days that in my hurry to get out the door with the chocolate lab, I forget to lock my door. There's a break in opportunity right there, but thank you, Jesus, no one took the opportunity. My house was okay. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You see, God is saying to us in Britain, saying to us at this time, 2017, great breakthroughs, but come on, message, you are people who are pioneering, spearheaded to take opportunities. Come on, I'm going to mark it. And I felt God say to you, you are living in a season of opportunity. You are his pioneers for change. He wants you to keep running the good race and enjoy the run. Don't become, you know, good British bulldog, gritted teeth, just miserable as hell. But I'll get there anyway. That's not what we're talking about. Don't become too wounded and too weary, please. I care about you guys too much. I come in every year and I listen. Usually we arrive at the money business and it just really enthralls me. Yet again, we arrived. 5.8 million, we're leaving for 7.7. Come on, Jesus. Don't become wounded and weary. Keep sharp. Say to someone, keep sharp. Keep sharp. Keep that cutting edge. Keep that hungry. You have won many prizes and awards, many accolades you have achieved, whether you are the 10 years, 25 years, 25 months, 25 weeks. How many of you can say, you know, this is a place where you move. There is a movement. There is a momentum. And that has its pluses and minuses. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Part of you can just say, seriously, let me chill. Shush, go away, leave me alone. Ever feel like that? I do. I'm a bit of a schizophrenic. I'm a prophetic person. I love prophesying change. And then when it comes to me, leave me alone. Rachel just wants to be at home. Anyone know what I'm talking about? But God smiles. And I really felt as I prayed, because I count these days an incredible privilege, I felt the smile of Jesus. He gives you rewards. He gives you cakes. He lets off. There's something in heaven that Jesus said, there they go. But God wants you to keep running. The easiest thing is once you feel you're beginning to maintain. It's like when Andy's sitting in that boardroom. It takes great courage to then push another 2 million. Because the sweat, blood and tears of 100,000, of 10,000, of 1 million, of 10 million. You think, we're doing so much. Your tithe is greater, as you said already, of many charities. Why push more? Why? Because of responsibility and opportunity. And that takes courage. And so I want to talk a little bit. 5 years ago, I spoke about Message. Remember? Message. I don't know if you remember. Message 2012. And it spells like this. Read it with me. M for miracles. E, everlasting legacy. S, serve. S, sounds. What do I mean by that? Many distinctive sounds, that your sound would be heard at many levels of the nation, in media, in radio, but you'd have a distinctive sound, a quirky sound, a sound that would penetrate when often doors would be in your face. God would give message a relevant sound. A, that you would be action, not just words. You're not on your butts, you do it. You don't just have dreams, you birth them. G, you're a God. You are unashamedly Jesus message. You're not just nice message. You're not just cushy message. You've got God right in your message and you're not ashamed. And E, you have an ever-changing creativity. God will morph you in and out over the years. That's why Message Tribe, bring them back, looks strange, wonderful, weird today, but it was amazing. Jumping in the house, go jumping. My kid, I still remember that very, very clearly. But you got a message. But you got to keep that cutting edge. So how do you do it? How do we keep sharp? I gave my life to Jesus when I was 4 years old. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit when I was 10. Got baptized when I was 11. When I was 17, up in Dale's Bible Week in a cow shed that smelt like poo, I knew God said, I want you. The age of 24, we went to Africa, served with Reinhard Bonnke. Age of 30, came back to this nation to pastor a church in the Watford area. How old was I then? 90. I'm trying to work out the age. I can't remember how old we were when I moved to Oxford, 2005. So what's that, 45? 45 we moved to Oxford. 57 I stand today. I do know that. Got 2 kids and 5 grandkids. My daughter, Nicola, is now in Melbourne with her husband, Tim, leading Melbourne Hillsong, about 4,500 people under their care, birthed that church from 9 in Melbourne. My son David is in Peterborough, and he's my guy in the marketplace. He's my banker investor, turning around companies, a Christian company, actually, that's part of Kingsgate, Dave and Karen Smith, that whole thing, one of the main finances of that. He works now as their CFO, helping them turn the money around. The company was nearly going down, and Jesus put him in, 30 years old, Joseph anointing. His heart has always been, I want to be philanthropic investor for the house of God. I want to turn money for the kingdom. Come on, how many of you know we need men in the marketplace, men in the mission place, and if we put them together. So my son, at the age of 7, do you want to be a pastor like your dad? No, I'm going to be a millionaire. And everyone hissed. Who knows, maybe he will be one day, but he certainly will be in heaven. You're going to keep your cutting edge. What was that crazy thing that leaked out in those moments? How can you keep sharp? You take a moment. So, Selah. All the way, if you read your Psalms, you see that little word, Selah. Shh. Be still. Keep your cutting edge, get out there, sure. Shh, Selah. Because how do we really get sharp? It's by cutting ourselves on the rock of all ages. It's picking up that steel and just letting our life grate against God a little bit. Getting perspective. You see, I want to ask you, precious people here, incredible opportunities. But it isn't like, pump it up, go. Whoa. I've learned, because I'm a pretty prophetic, passionate sort of person. But I've begun to learn, maybe older makes wiser, don't know. But one of the things I've learned over the last 2 or 3 years is learning to step back a bit before stepping forward. I've learned to give myself a break. I've been on a journey of reconfiguring Rachel a little bit, of finding time for Rachel, finding time to just lean into Jesus before I press out and do everything. And I believe at 25 years old, this message is going to lean into God, but catapult forward in a whole new way of incredible. And I believe for each one of you, there's a whole way of stepping back to lean in against that rock, to catapult forward with a whole new sense of purpose and accuracy. God wants you to learn how to find a place to get really refreshed and really envisioned. He wants you to find a place where crisis doesn't drive you to seek him alone. Because I got to a place, I mean, we've been in Oxford, we moved there, and I've been on a journey for 2015. God really spoke to me, you're to take a sabbatical. I was terrified. If I stopped, I didn't know what I'd find. It was much easier to keep going. Anyone know what I mean? My diary was full, my life was full, just keep going. I knew how to do full, busy life. I wasn't sure I wanted to do chilled back life and really face some of my stuff to keep my cutting edge. But too often we only allow crisis to make a stop. God wants you to have a healthy rhythm of life. Be still. Pause. Reflect. Next slide, I think it is. Be still, pause, reflect. Find that healthy rhythm of life. Because if you're going to keep your cutting edge, as you go away from today, full and tomorrow again, full of stuff, there's a sense which I want you to lean back into the goodness of God and let him catapult you forwards. Keep sharp in a whole new way. Selah literally means stop. Step back. Be still. Now listen. That takes courage. When your work schedule is going up, ramping. When your responsibility schedule is ramping up. When you suddenly were challenged, can I find 25 to do 25? I want that. You know, you want things. I have discovered again and again, if I will step out and step into to step forward, suddenly I have a whole nother level. Keep your cutting edge. We often think we can't afford that time because we tend to be, well, I'm an action person. They can be the prayer people. Oh, just to say, I have written a new book, I Love Prayer. I bought one box with me. I'll leave it. Oh, Gordon's getting it for me. I'll leave it on the platform here. At the end of it, if you would like a copy, you know my stuff, you'd like one. They're just here. They're just for you. They're free. Just take them. I'll do that while I remember. But there we are. I wrote it, I Love Prayer, if you can see it. Very simple. I'm sick and tired of too many prayer books having such complicated titles and they look miserable. So I made it easy. I love prayer. It's changed my life. So I feel God wants to ask you this. And he says, I want to stir your hearts with a fresh expectation. I'm waiting for you. And I've got keys of opportunity for you so that you will carry on with a real sense of purpose. Don't feel overwhelmed. And then in the God way that he always does when I'm praying, he says, but don't worry, if you don't carry a sense of feeling too stretched and feeling you're out of your league, then you're probably living life too safe. I like keeping you in the stretched out zone. But I'll keep you sharp. So I've got 4 quick pointers. How do we keep this cutting edge in everyday life? Number one, key relationships will keep you sharp. Key relationships will keep you sharp. I just want us to read this psalm, Psalm 27, verse 17. Psalm 27, verse 17. Can we read it together? Next slide. There we go. 1, 2, 3. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. I want you to very intentionally find someone in this next year who doesn't just rub you up the wrong way, but rubs you up the right way. Who's going to help you keep sharp, help you keep on focus. Iron sharpens iron. Find a relationship that doesn't just tell you what you like to hear, but tells you what you need to hear. Find someone who'll get alongside you and say, look, Rachel, Gordon, whoever. And it's really good if it's not just in your marriage. In your marriage, there is something very precious. But I feel there's something really precious outside your personal relationship. Find a girl, find a guy. I've been on a journey, as I said, 2015, God took me on a sabbatical. I began to take a bit more time to talk, and doctors and friends. Actually, it was my little grandson who started the journey. I was watching him on a micro scooter. He's 3 going 4. His name's Cooper, Australian Coops. So he's going, he said, and I'm trying desperately to catch him. I'm thinking, oh no, granny duty failed already as he's herring across the park. I can get nowhere near him. Leela, the other one, is now 6.5. The other direction, I've got a baby in the stroller, and I'm thinking, dear Jesus, do you do this for real? Mild panic. No, I'm a granny. I've done this before. I can do it. I can do it. Rachel, you can do it. And then little Coop said, Nanny, if your bottom wasn't so fat and wiggled so much, you could run faster. At that time, I did weigh 70 pounds more than I do today. But it was one of those deja vu moments where I'd been avoiding, and I'd had several people say to me, Rachel, I believe in their very pastoral way, God wants you to be fit for purpose. And I knew I'd put on lots of weight, and I knew I'd let lots of things going, but actually being slightly overweight was not just about being overweight. It was just that I'd lost a cutting edge. I lost the cutting edge of discipline. I got so focused on just being in the channel that I had lost a lot of my time of just having some time to do a bit of exercise, eating correctly. I was on the go. I was just focused about one thing, and I'd lost peripheral vision. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And it wasn't so much about the food and being fat. It was just about life had got so out of balance, and I needed some good friendships to look down, sit me and say, Rachel, you're only 50. 55, but actually you're making huge life choices now, and you want to live 70, 80. Come on, how many of you want to run and run a long race and be old enough to see your friends and really cheer it? And sometimes we need, in our 30s and our 40s, to make wise decisions so that we keep our cutting edge. And it needs maybe a mummy like me to come along and say, seriously, how's your drink doing? You know, we joke about some people teetotal or not, but, oh, I'll just have a beer, I only have one, I think. But then suddenly it's a bit more. Or I just watch a TV program, and suddenly you can't sleep without going downstairs to watch a program. There's stuff that begins to become part of your world habit, which is not really that helpful. How many know what I'm talking about? And actually, you're talking to yourself, but you say, nah, oh, don't be so religious. And you keep giving yourself, but you need a friend to keep you sharp and say, Rachel, you actually are. Coop's right. You have got a fat butt. I needed my grandson. But then I needed friends who got around me and said, come on, girl, we can do this. Has it all been easy? No. Have I liked it? Poo. It's not nice saying no to things you like. I developed a pattern of life. And maybe there's things in your pattern of life, social media. I don't know what it is, but there's stuff in your world that actually has begun to take a long thing, and it's a distraction, not a helpmate. So come on, let key relationships keep sharp. How bold are friends allowed to be? How much can they help you? Are you losing your temper more than you were? Do you find yourself swearing, even if it's in your head, not quite out your mouth? The problem is, once it's in your head, it might come out your mouth, and then that could be really bad. Do you get what I'm saying? It's just, it's good evaluation stuff. How sharp am I? Where am I going at? But God says, come on, key relationships will keep you sharp. Number two, training will keep you sharp. Training will keep you sharp. How many would agree with me that life is going at an incredible rate? It is scary. I mean, social media and scam. These, you know, I remember when we first started working for Reinhard Bonnke, we had to learn to use a telex machine. Does anyone know what a telex machine was? It was pre-fax. Then we used fax. Now, who uses faxes these days? Who hardly uses emails? You know, my daughter lives in Australia. If I email, she said, Mom, just text. I don't use email. Text, Instagram, social media. Life changes so much. Our communication has changed hugely. But training keeps you sharp. Andy's CEO message, I'm sure all the time, even if you can't do it, you're finding someone who's well-trained to do it for you, giving stuff away all the time. Heart Cry for Change, I run a charity at the moment. I've just given away all sorts of stuff and said, seriously, this stuff does my head in. I don't really want to know. I just want to know it goes. I want to ask you this. So often, we don't see our own lack of discipline or our own lack of training as being a plug in the system. And to keep ourselves sharp, you've got to stay round tables and got to stay humble. You can't be like, well, I'm the boss here, don't tell me. I believe all the time God is wanting us to be trained. Body, mind, soul, being, spirit. How many of you get what I'm saying? How many of you know, if you're really honest, if you can take a moment? You see, I'm one of these really annoying people. I'm not coming really to tell you what to do. I'm not prescriptive. I'm just opening up lots of scenarios and conversations. Do you get what I'm saying? And I hope I'm going to give you capital letters at the beginning of conversations, which will mean you'll go away with your mates and tonight and over the next time, your Eden projects and other things. Keep the conversation going. How are we going to keep sharp relationally? Where is our training? Do you have the guts to say, actually, if I'm honest, I'm using 90% of my pressure comes from this area of my life because really I don't know what I'm doing because I find this pressurized. And the whole of our education system, I can say something quickly, in British education is we tend, our whole reporting system, and it's been well documented, is we play to our weaknesses, not strengths. So in other words, our reporting says, could do better in English. So what does the teacher do? Send us home with an extra 30 spellings so that we can upgrade our English. You should do better, could do better, could do. Math, science is brilliant, but now you have to invest 90% of your time into 10% of your function, which is weak, and you know it and they know it. Actually, that's a no-brainer. And we carry on that into our work and into our ministry and into our life. And we wonder why we're stress balls. It's all right to say, I can't. I'm not that brilliant. I'm good at a lot of things, but I'm bad at some things. I love my relaxation and the end of a long, busy ministry trip, come back, is to do my expense account. I love it. I love sitting with all receipts. It's an absolute no-brainer of a job in all the different currencies. It's my math science area. And putting it all together and getting it to the penny. Scored. Helen, the person I work with, that is her idea of absolute hell. Her strength is writing, researching. She'll go, give me a library day. Let me go stroke books. It's like, seriously, just give me a report of the book. I'm fine. I love learning information, but I'd like you to go to the library. You can read all the books. Give me the summary, and I can look really amazing because I know all the latest models of leadership, etc. But don't give me the books. You go read them. Helen is brilliant. She's taken the communicator and helped me write. But, oh, I sweated blood and tears trying to write, got ghostwriting. Ugh. I've now got Helen who can interpret for me. Do you get what I'm saying? And sometimes what causes some of our greatest stresses in our teams is we're preserving our 10% because we will look good and everything, but it's taking 90% of our effort. Come on, it's a no-brainer. Let go. Let others grow. Or maybe you need to get a bit of training to upgrade a bit. But I just felt God say that. You see, so often we don't see our area of discipline. We have all, and we're so working in our weak areas that we get dull, get exhausted. But others can show you a better way. Keep your cutting edge. Keep your cutting edge. I just want us to read this scripture. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10. If the axe is dull and its edge unsharpened, more strength is needed, but skill will bring success. Read it one more time. If the axe is dull and its edge unsharpened, more strength is needed, but skill will bring success. In other words, your life's got a cutting edge. You're good at what you do. How many of you know after a little while you can do what you do because you just learn the ways and means? You can do it. And we can then begin to flow into our natural rather than our spiritual. And we can do it. The problem is, as the Holy Spirit begins to lift off, we lose some of the passion, call of God, etc., and we get a bit blunt. How many of you know? How many of you have ever had days, and I have, where you stood up and you've preached and you thought, actually, I was in a bad mood, I wasn't well prepared and thing, but thank you, Jesus, you were so gracious. I was a bit blunt that day, but it still cut through. Thank you, God. Almost, I got away with it, but you are so good to me, oh Lord. But the problem is, once we do that a couple of times, we can think, I can just do it. Actually, I don't have to be as sharp and thinging on. I can do it. But this proverb and actually life, and I could unpack it from many, many scriptures, is that once our edge gets dull and unsharp, more strength is needed. Why? Because if the Holy Spirit is not invigorating you, actually, where does that strength come from? From your own capacity. You begin to then have to push it, nail it, make it. How many of you get what I'm talking about? And suddenly you're trying to do it from within yourself. The problem is then we very quickly get into the zone of manipulation. Come on, guys, I'm pulling my weight. Where are you? Ever heard that? It's about time we all did this together. I've been doing it for too long. I put my money in. And even if we don't say it, we think it. I'm the only one around here who really is pulling my weight. Everyone else is just taking the mick. Why can't they pull there? We begin to think this. And actually, as that conversation, the reason I'm being real honest here, I've been in church a long, long time, is suddenly, you see, that to me has become the beep, 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 beep alarm. I'm losing my cutting edge because suddenly I'm trying to borrow power to make it cut through. Because the proverb says more strength is needed, but your skill. And that word skill doesn't mean Holy Spirit skill. It means your essence of life. Your life experience actually still helps you make it through. In other words, you start resourcing from yourself, using your life experience to push something through. And suddenly what was a Holy Spirit, anointed, slick, well-oiled, piercing, sharp-going thing, suddenly becomes a little bit slick. It still has success, inverted commas, but it's now got a different strength boring through it. How many of you can see that in your own life, in organizations? But God says to you, say with me, keep your cutting edge. Say it with me, keep your cutting edge. Keep sharp. Number three. Number one, keep a friend. Number two, get that training. Keep that cutting edge. Don't move into your own strength. When you find you're doing that, get someone in alongside or get trained. Number three, keep that pioneering spirit. As I've already said, it's hard to pioneer a long time. The natural thing is you pioneer for a couple of years and then you settle. Remember the children of Israel? They pioneered and pioneered. Suddenly, some of the tribes said, hey, we're out of here. We've done a lot of pioneering. It's now time for us to find some land, get married, have some family life. We want life as normal. We're going to settle by the river here. We're not going to pioneer anymore. And Joshua said, no, come across the river. We haven't finished the mission. You've got to keep pressing. Nah, we're done. It's hard. Doesn't mean you're wrong, but it is hard. But what will keep you sharp is keeping that pioneering spirit. But there's three things that I've identified that I think rob the pioneering spirit. Number one, or A, keep that pioneering spirit. A, don't allow yourself to get sentimental. Don't allow yourself to get sentimental. In Leviticus 26, it says, I will look on you with favor. I'll make you fruitful. I'll increase your numbers. I'll keep my covenant with you. You will still be eating last year's harvest when you have to move it out to make room for the ewe. I will put my dwelling on you. I will not reject you or a boy. You see, that's the hard thing of keeping your cutting edge. Is when you're living in harvest time, to move a harvest out to make room for the new feels like a no-brainer. It's like, seriously, Jesus, let us enjoy our breakthrough. He says, no. At the end of every harvest, you're already planting for the next season. And so there's that thing in the kingdom of God for the pioneers. As you rejoice over this prayer day, every story, everything, you're already planning the next harvest, the next thing. And we can't get sentimental. He says, come on, move it out. Yeah, but that was so good. It was going so well. We liked it like that. Sorry, mates, it all has to shift because if we're going to make room for the new, everything has to move. But I don't like it. And sometimes we want to be cute with God. Me no likes it, Jesus. If I can be cute and look like I'm three, maybe he'll listen. And he's, how many of you know what I'm talking about? And when you think you've just got it sorted, he just was anything new. But I like it like that. I liked working for so-and-so. Why does he have to move department? Why does this have to think? It's called pioneering. Don't grow sentimental. Let go of the harvest and see what will grow. Do I like it? If I'm honest, no. Does it work? Yes. Is it necessary? Yes. It's part of the sacrifice of the gospel that the ministry of change is always the most efficient department. Don't grow sentimental and don't let it make you bitter. Keep that pioneering spirit, will keep you sharp. Don't grow sentimental. The second part of keeping the pioneering spirit is don't stay in the same place too long. Deuteronomy 1, 6 to 8. And the Lord God said to us, you have stayed at this mountain long enough. Break camp, advance into the hill country. I have given you this land. Go in, take possession. The ministry of change, most efficient. Keep that pioneering edge. But it's working. I don't want to move. It's hard, but keep that cutting edge. What's Jesus saying? Am I getting too sentimental? Am I getting intransigent? What's your response to change when someone says, we just need to make some shift and change? Are you fine? Are you coming? No, you don't understand. Or, no, Jesus, I'm ready. I'm keeping my cutting edge. I'm ready to move. Break up camp. I've given you a land, not just a village. It's hard. But I believe there's a grace on the message to advance. It's interesting, you're talking advance, advance, evangelist. Advance, advance, advance into this land. The third thing that keeps your pioneering spirit, or the things you have to guard against that robs your pioneering spirit, is don't get hard and resistant. I've connected them really. Hosea 10:2, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap the fruit of unfailing love, break up your unplowed ground, for it's time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you. A pioneering spirit will keep you sharp. Not sentimental, ready to change and move. Don't get hard and resistance. You see that? Plow up, break up the unplowed ground. Where are the areas in your life where they've got too settled, unplowed? You see, for me, I got totally unaware that there was whole fields of my life where I lacked discipline, because there were other areas of my life where I was scrupulously disciplined. I got up early, I read my Bible, I prepared. I'm a very, very disciplined person. So when friends began to challenge me, said, Rachel, you've lost your cutting edge, you're not as disciplined. I said, seriously, you should look at my giving. This is what's going on in my head, self-justification. You should look at my giving. You should look at my investment into the word, into prayer, into what I do, fasting, praying, etc. How can you say, and then I suddenly thought, oh my goodness, yeah, with eating, with discipline, with my time usage, time management, etc., etc. I suddenly thought, so right, but so wrong. Got hard and resistant. Where are the unplowed places you think? Because it's time to seek the Lord. Selah, step back. Wait, whoa. God, am I really as sharp? I need friends. I need training. I need that pioneering spirit. Break up any unplowed ground in me. Break up where I've got hard. Break up where I've got cynical. What's your attitude when you hear some of the pioneering stuff? Oh, yeah. I know. Do you spectate in a slightly cynical, you've got hard, resistant, or you're like, come on, Andy, ready to go. Come on, Carl, let's go. Come on, whoever your team is, ready to go. Or is a part of you saying, oh, yeah. We all need just moments where we come at you and say, keep me. And finally, number four, one, find a friend. Two, get trained. Three, keep that pioneering spirit. Don't get over sentimental. Don't resist change. Don't get hard. And finally, four, that passionate love of God will keep you sharp. So we go full circle. How do I keep sharp? I stop. I lean back into Daddy's love. So I took my sabbatical, took some time with Jesus. And as I began to feel the incredible Daddy's love for Rachel, I began to think, what an idiot I've been. He loves me so much. He loves this girl so much. I found friends in my life who will say, Rachel, are you taking time out for you? Are you still being disciplined? What are you weighing? Are you doing your stuff? Found friends. I don't know what your area is. I work a lot with Battelle. Do you know Battelle, the recovery thing? And it was so interesting working in their girls' house in Derby and Nottingham and up in Hexham now. Just got their girls' house, went to dedicate that just a few weeks ago. Wonderful girls moved in there. But as I listened to their story, I thought, you know, that sharp, passionate, cutting edge of finding Jesus. I don't want to lose that. And as we're on that evangelism front and seeing it, come on, he loves you. I want to finish with this story. Sunday lunch is a great occasion. Often I'm out preaching on a Sunday and they say, do you want to go for food? And we say, yes, please. And this particular time they took us to this well-known carvery in town, and it was a beautiful hotel. As we walked in, and they got all the joints. In America, that's always a bit dangerous. They got all the meat laid up. They got the beef, and they've got the turkey and pork and thing, and they got the chefs standing behind it. So I had a look, and they said, what do you want? And I said, I want the beef, but I love it a bit rare. And I walked up and stood in this line, and I watched the chef, and it was immaculately, beautifully done. But I got a little bit irritated, thinking, why does he stop every 2 seconds? Can't you see there's a massive line and we want some food? But every 2 minutes he stopped, ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch, and then goes back to carving. And I thought, is that really necessary? Doesn't he have a good quality knife? And all this is going through my brain as I'm standing in line. And I'm thinking, that's actually quite interesting. And then I get engaged. And by the time I get up there, I say, excuse me, can I ask you a question? I've been intrigued. You sharpen your knife ever such a lot. Why do you do that? And he said, well, I'd be an idiot not to, because I want to keep my cutting edge pristine sharp to do my job effectively. And I said, but isn't your knife a good quality? He said, oh, that's the problem. The better the quality the knife, the more you should care for it. He said, if I'm carving like this, And he said, I'm doing a full Sunday lunch. He said, I will stop after about every 5 to 10 cuts and give just 3 sharps. Ch-ch-ch. My knife will be pristine. He said, if I carve 30 to 50 cuts, I will need maybe 20, 25. If I don't stop for an hour, he said, I might as well sling my knife. It will take me more time to bring it back than is worth my salary. He said, the problem is people don't stop frequently enough to sharpen their knives, so they make them beep, beep, beep. I can't say exactly what he said. And in that moment, Holy Spirit went, and I went, yes, God, idiot. I suddenly realized we run and run and run and run and run. And when we're just about broken, even if you're the best quality knife, we need to stop. And we keep pristine sharp. And I've got this sort of weird idea, just keep running and then have my 3 days retreat with Jesus every 3 months. It's an idiot's game. We need to keep stopping. Selah, step back, lean back. There's no weakness in that. In the middle of all the rush and the pressure and stress, and how can I do this, God? Stop. Pristine. I tell you, in the last 3 years, I would say it's changed my life. I feel revolutionized inside. I am in such a passionate for Jesus. I have seen more people say, I just love my life, but I love God more. I love God more. I love the kids more. It's like, it's given me a whole new world of this permission of step back. I want to do more. I want to go more. But actually, I want to stop more. So come on, just look to Jesus and sharpen. Put your life against the rock and let him sharpen you. Because I tell you, message, there's an effectiveness and a power that God's going to put upon you, an anointing that's coming upon you to cut through so much of our society and the mess. But it's going to be like a knife through butter, melted butter. So just close your eyes for a moment. Just let Jesus come. You want to kneel down, stand up. I don't mind how you do it. You find a Jesus moment, God moment. Do it how is good for you. But lean into him. It's not by might, not by power. It's by his Spirit. Let go, let God. Lean into that bigness of him. And it was like, I was thinking about 25 years. I was trying to work it out, and I was thinking, it must be 25 years. And I just felt, it's that stainless steel thing. Ch-ch-ch. He's sharpening you. Come, Holy Spirit.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to check out message.org.uk to find out how you can support or even get involved with one of our teams.